Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Wednesday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe. There he is, somewhat. That's better than last time. Cuse Militia. On the socials, go there, join the militia live on Twitter, X Spaces, sometimes, maybe. You just got to have a happy medium there, Joe.
Oh, no, that was too loud?
It was poppy, yeah. The initial crack was great, but the rest of it was you hitting the microphone with your hand. That's how close you were. But look, you know, it's better, and you're improving, and that's all we care about, okay? Upward trajectory, just like Syracuse.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, you're welcome. Coming off of an 86-79 win over UNC with some tremendous defense from Quadir Copeland at the end of this game. I don't know if enough can be said about that because I think it was three possessions. Two of them went to the monitor. And this game I thought like UNC just started playing dirty. They realized they were going to lose this game and they were doing everything they could to avoid Syracuse from scoring, who, you know, in the first go around hit 36.5%, and then this go around here at home hit 62.5%. Just tremendous. They got up way more shots than they did the first time. And you know, UNC got up less shots than they did the first time, way less. So 61-77 on that end. And then for Syracuse, 48 to 63. So they got it more. They just missed them, I guess. Is that right? Yeah, that is right. So anyway, Syracuse was hitting shots. Syracuse was playing defense. Syracuse was exciting. That was the most exciting game I've watched, and I may be biased, but that was the most exciting game I've watched this year. That kind of upset just is, you know, what you look for when you watch sports, period. I don't care what sport it is. Most of the time, I'm an underdog guy. And for Syracuse to just get absolutely handled in Chapel Hill, and take care of business, led by 10 multiple times. You know, UNC, I think, got up to 4 or 5 at one point, but Syracuse didn't let the train fall off the tracks. They kept the wheels on the wagon. They kept pushing, doing what they were doing. J.J. Starling, the mid-range game last night, the point guards, and just the J.J. Starling's mid-range game is... Judas was good, and we're not used to that. And I think to both of them clicking like that, and we'll get into what Coach said, but both of them clicking like that was just, you don't even see that. You don't see teams hitting shots like that. You are either right at the rim or you're shooting threes. That's what we're used to in college basketball right now. These guys were killing it. And for them to hit at a clip of 62.5% last night was amazing. And again, the defense was awesome. Zone. Okay. Who would have thought we would have done that and played that well in the zone? And it threw UNC way off their game. I feel like they were frustrated much of the second half, went into the locker room tied at the first. I feel like the officiating was infuriating yesterday. I don't know if it's the worst I've seen this year, but it was infuriating last night. I did not like it at all. Yes, really. I thought there were so many missed fouls. First of all, the I don't want to get into too much of it because we won, and I just don't care. But right. I do care, but I don't want to talk about it. What's his name there? Cormac Ryan, right? That tomahawk on the arms of Malik Brown, that's flagrant. That's not a play on the ball. Like, if you go to the monitor there, that's flagrant. What Baycott did was flagrant. They just played dirty towards the end of that game. And I don't appreciate it.
Into Chris Bell when Judah Mintz tried to throw the oop up there. I don't think Chris Bell was going to finish it, but he ran into him and he ended up falling. I mean, that's a safety.
That's dangerous.
Know? Yeah.
I mean, so there was...
I think near the end, there was definitely some stuff like that. But ultimately, at the end of the game, there was 20 fouls called against North Carolina, only 11 against us.
I mean, I know, but there could have been more called against them. I understand the discrepancy. And hey, look, you know, 14 of those free throws came in the last like 2 minutes of that game, though. So seven of those fouls came in like the last 2 minutes. I mean, UNC really, you know, was trying their best to claw their way back into this thing. I just thought that they showed their asses, in my opinion, in who they really are. And they couldn't take the L with any kind of dignity. They kind of just acted like entitled little brats at the end of that game. That's how I feel about it. Because they feel like they should have won that game. And they probably should have. But you know what? No. They go in and
they the ACC runs through Baycott.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I think, who said that?
Armando Baycott.
Oh, yes, Armando Baycott. That's right. So,
that's weird. That's not a pompous thing to say.
Not at all. And how dare we go into Syracuse and anyone think we're going to even come close to losing this game after we beat them by 36? God forbid. Never going to happen. Well, guess what? I didn't think it was going to happen either. But guess what? We have all of us, most of us, have egg on our face after that game last night. Because if I had to bet $1,000, it wasn't going to be on Syracuse.
Well, dude, did you see the spread?
35 and a half? I don't know.
No, it was 7.5.
Okay. Oh, well, I mean, that's why I don't bet.
It was that close. But again... You know, the announcer last night there was Jimmy Dykes, I believe.
I don't know.
I mean, he was spot on in a couple of things, and I have read something about the teams this year in the top 10 going on the road, and I guess.
Oh yes, I did hear him talk about that.
Yeah, so I mean, he was speaking of the fact that like normally and on average, you know, the top 10 teams that go on the road. Normally still win at a 75% clip. That's on average, you know, historically. But this year so far, top 10 teams going to, and this is top 10 teams going on the road against unranked teams. So they normally win 75% of the time. This year, they're winning at 45% of the time. So 55% of the time, the unranked home team is beating the top 10 team. It's already happened to Kansas 3 times this year. So, that's kind of a phenomenon, and I don't know if this is the effect of NIL and how we always talked about the NIL was going to force other players to go certain places, which would take up scholarships that normally would go to these big Power Five schools. So now you have just a trickle down effect of players that normally would in the past get recruited to Power Five schools are now getting recruited to smaller conference schools, which is obviously bringing more talent to these smaller schools. So I don't know if it's just a side effect of that, but also he was like, you know, you go and you lose like that to anybody by 36, you get spanked like that, like not even, you know, if you are any type of competitor, like he said, like you're going out there and you are going to bust your ass to make sure that you don't look like how the last game ended, right?
If you have any sense of pride in
yes, 100%
to what you're doing, and you got to buy in, and you got to believe in what coach is selling, and it's weird, it's a little weird. I mean, look, you look at the Clemson game; it was a loss, but they didn't play bad. They didn't play awful. They hung right there.
There was just spurts of bad play.
There was no droughts in this game as far as scoring goes. There was like a 9-10 minute drought against Clemson. So like I said, they scored. and they continued to score. And what was it, 42-42 at the half? Still thinking to myself, I mean, it was a nail biter all the way through for me, because anytime UNC mm-hmm. can make a run and you know it. And
I was just like, at some point, RJ Davis is just going to go off.
And he didn't. I mean, he just...
I mean, he still had 19.
He did, but he had 3 at the half.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he puts 2 good halves together. They might have this game, you know? Yeah. I mean, a little disappointed in the... I guess, I mean, down the stretch, a couple missed free throws made me extremely nervous. I'll just put it that way.
Yep. Oh, yeah. 100%. But Quadir Copeland, like you said, I mean, those are the type of plays. You know, Quadir Copeland, he had 3 steals, but the 2 biggest plays that he had weren't steals. They were essentially just, you know, making a play and making sure that the ball went off of them and not him.
Yeah, right?
Got possession. Like, that's not going to show up in a scoreboard.
No, the one that went off the shin of Baycott was pushed into his leg. Now, the other one, he got lucky where it hit the pinky, I feel like. But, you know, the one he stole from McCormick Ryan was...
That was easy.
Yeah, that was too easy.
Yeah, McCormick Ryan had a couple bad turnovers in that second half yesterday.
He was frustrated.
Yeah, Judah had a couple... steals, and then obviously, like I said, Copeland near the end. The way Malik Brown came out in the beginning of the game and hit 2 threes and, you know, finished a layup, and I think he had a first 8 out of our 10 points. And, I mean, Judah was efficient. I mean, 8 of 11 from the floor, 9 of 11 from the free throw line, 4 assists, 3 steals, 5 rebounds. That was the other thing, the crashing of the boards.
Yeah, I mean, what was guards, it last man. Game? It was 53-30.
And I think it was 31-23.
31-23, yeah. So, and you could tell they were, I mean, boxing out. When was the last time you seen Syracuse team box out like that? I mean, Quadir Copeland was Mr. Box Out. I mean, they were doing a great job. I just, it's like, where has this been? And I just, you know, it's the inconsistency, right? So they've set themselves up. They have a staple win. This is not, I'm happy, and no way, shape, or form do I think that this is going to propel them into the NCAA tournament. I mean, they've still got to finish out quite a slate.
100%.
I mean, there's quite the slate left. I mean, it's not terrible, but, you know, you got some road games, 4 road games, and you got a couple more at home, but you still got Virginia Tech and NC State again at home, and then Clemson at home. So... And Georgia Tech at home, if you want to throw that one in there. But, you know, just to see the fight in Clemson and then come out and just fight twice as hard and actually win this game, maybe something clicks where they're like, well, you know what? It's 40 minutes and there's 6 of us, basically. Okay? We kind of see the rotation, right?
Yeah.
It's a 6-man show. And,
pretty much.
And you're going to have to... Did
Hema got in there for a little while.
Yeah, he did, but I mean, I think it was 1 minute.
Kyle Cuff did not,
but Mintz and Starling played all 40. That's what I was looking for. Yeah. So
Chris Bell, 36.
Mintz and Starling might have to play 40. They might just have to play the 40. I mean, I don't know, but there's a 6-man rotation right now, and you've got what, 6 games left? 7? Yeah, 6 games left. So you know, it's 40 minute games, and you're just going to have to go out there and push yourself. If they can do it against UNC, they can do it against any of these other teams on the slate. And if they can beat UNC and play like that against UNC, they have a chance to beat any of these other ones coming up. And I think, honestly, still to me, the toughest one's going to be at Clemson. You know, especially on the road, like you just pointed out. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But I'm happy. By no way do I think this is for me, I think it's unrealistic to think that tournament talk is off the table for me. But they do have a chance. I mean, there's the hole has opened up a little bit.
Yeah, I was looking at some of the net rankings.
By the way, we only jumped up 6 points in the net.
But I don't think that was – I don't know if that was before or after, because what I'm seeing now, it says through games February 13th. Yeah, so maybe they did. But that going up 6, see, and that's the thing. That's the thing with the net. We're not going to go down that rant again. But how do you catch up?
You can't.
How do you catch up in the net when you're only jumping 6 points when you're, you know, beating the best team in your conference, the top 10 team? Like,
you can't, because you only dropped, you dropped 4 or 5 when you lost against Clemson at home.
Right.
There's, it's barely a wash.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, they're 3 games away from, you know, Benny Williams getting dismissed from the team and people talking about, you know, Adrian Autry losing his team, losing the locker room. I think that it's apparent that that's not true. He has not lost the locker room. And, you know, you got some good complimentary players around you. You got Chris Bell, who I think he's up over 40% over the 3-point line. Like, that's really good, for especially for how many he chucks. You know what I mean? It's not like he's shooting 40% and he's only taking 53s, right? Like, and you know, Kwadir Copeland and Malik Brown continue to do things that, you know, you're just not going to see in the box score. They're just really good complimentary players. Mm-hmm. And to be perfectly honest with you, this yesterday, Judah Mintz and J.J. Starling, like, that is kind of the backcourt and the basketball that I was expecting from them all season. You know, coming into this season, they were both in, you know, preseason mock drafts for the NBA draft coming in this year. Looking at, they're both being looked at as possible, you know, NBA talent players. And, you know, I feel like they're finally clicking. And it's just, it was great to see them against a North Carolina team like that, who's got a great backcourt in their own, and them, you know, be able to win that matchup. You know, definitely, I feel like something clicked. And if you don't take that confidence and you don't take that momentum off of that, because, I mean, again, we lose that game, then you probably got to win the ACC tournament or go to the championship game to even, you know, sniff the NCAA tournament. But now you're talking about your next five games, really. You know, you take away the game, or last 6 games, you take away the game at NC State and the game at Clemson, and you're playing 4 of the bottom 5 teams in the ACC. So we have a legit chance of, you know, possibly going 5-0 before our last game at Clemson. I mean, if that were to happen, now you're talking about 21-9, you know, 12-7 in the ACC, and now you're talking about a different story. So regardless of everything that's happened this season, you know, the ups, the downs, you know, what's going on with Benny, the injuries, we just set the table. We put ourselves yesterday back into the conversation, and we just opened up, you know, the door. The path to the tournament just got a lot bigger last night.
Yeah, let's take just a couple minutes and just hear Coach's opening statement. Then we'll get into your thoughts.
Thought today was this game today was the the best game, obviously, that we played all year. I thought everybody that played in the game was outstanding. In particular, I thought, you know, Judah and JJ, you know, when you come into the season with those two guys, you know, that's kind of the expectation. And I thought today they really stepped up big. But I thought everybody was really good. You know, I thought Chris Bell, you know, did a really good job. Malik, you know, everyone that stepped on the court, Kwadir Copeland was huge defensively. I thought everybody played a hand in this victory, and I was just so proud of this team, because we've been battling all year. You know, we've played in a lot of these games this year with this team, and, you know, I thought today was the first time that we stayed composed. You know, we stuck to the game plan. You know, we ran our stuff. You know, I just thought Judah and JJ did a unbelievable job of just, you know, taking what the defense gave them, making shots, making kickouts, making great reads. And then defensively, you know, it was the first time that we played the zone this much in a while. And I thought they were really good. I mean, I thought they were really good, especially towards the end of the game. We got the stops that we needed. Obviously, we know rebounding is a struggle, but we battled, you know, and that wasn't that big of a difference today, but we battled. But I'm just proud of these guys because, you know, they compete every day. And we've had some, you know, some tough losses this year. So to have this win, you know, I think we're going to celebrate it with these guys and get ready and try to finish up the rest of the season.
So obviously a big win. The guys on the court were all smiles, minutes before that thing ended. You got to love seeing that. They just to have that in their pocket and to actually accomplish this without an asterisk. We've been talking about Oregon all year. To be able to go out there and really put together a full game. We talk about having everybody click. How many times have we mentioned it about having everybody click and playing like that? And that's what happens. You know, when you get that, these are the possible results. Like we've said this numerous times that the talent is there. It's just that they've got to. There's some things to figure out. An identity, Joe. How many times did you mention that? Right. So, you know, it seems like this late in the year, this seems to be what it is. Judah did a tremendous job of getting in his game and getting to the line. There were some nice picks that were posted up. Malik Brown had a couple beauties and just gave lanes right to Judah. And, I mean, all of everything. You know, you want to point to one thing and, you know, you look at the box score. The points in the paint were, I think, even. Yeah. This time, and I think they got killed last time. I don't remember exactly it was, but I think they got
killed in every stat.
Yeah, they got killed in every stat. And then, you know, we talked about the rebounds, and yeah, it's 8 differential, but you know, it was it's been close to 20 for the past 3 games, right? So I mean, this is the team you worry about the most, and they did a tremendous job there. The points of the paint, I said, were 32 each. And that goes to, that just is everything, because when you talk about being among trees, they're on the UNC team, and to be able to have that mid-range jumper and what Judah and JJ did was tremendous. So anyways.
No, dude, I wish that I wouldn't. I mean, I didn't listen to coach's comments, so I probably would have saved what I just said about JJ and Judah for this part.
I wondered if I didn't.
Okay. But again, that's, you saw a little bit, you know, we talked about, you know, the offense being stagnant, not having those lulls. You know, we knew they had the talent. We know that they have the passion, right? You see it. I mean, it's not, they hate to lose. They're competitive. You see all of these things. It's not like we got guys out there that don't have the talent and don't want to win. It's just learning how to do that together, right? Learning how to be mature, putting in the effort, the whole full game, right? Like, and then you see those, that's how you reap the benefits. That's how you see, you reap the rewards, you know, when you watch a team win and they're so happy, the fans, you know, rush the court. Remember when Quadir hit a buzzer beater against Miami, same deal. Like, I mean, but the hardest thing about it is being unselfish, being a team player and doing all the, putting in all the work and effort to get that W. So, I mean, it's always been well worth it to me, but again, it's, everybody's different. And sometimes it takes, you know, a lot of people to come together and a lot of change and a lot of sacrificing and okay, yeah, you were the man in high school and now this is your role in college and this and that. And I think that we're just starting to figure that out. You still see a little bit. There was a little bit of some body language out there I didn't like
Chris.
Look, this is the deal with Chris. I think that he's just so uberly like confident right now in his 3-point shot, and especially when he's wide open. I mean, it's getting to the point now where he's barely ever wide open.
He looked upset after he hit one. He looked like he had a problem.
Probably because he's like, yeah, I should already have hit 3 more, right? And like when he's open, he like wants that shot. He's like, dude, I'm open. You got to give it to
that
me.
That corner shot in front of the bench.
Dude, I'll tell you, yeah. But when there's a couple opportunities near the end where a teammate didn't see him or something, and you know, there's a little bit of bad, you know, but he would fix it, right? And you know, it's just, I don't know, man. It looked great.
I'm sorry, just speaking of body language, you know who, I mean, this is easy, but just watching last night, the JJ and Judah were one. They talked a lot. They were, you know what I'm saying? They were in each other's ear. They were, you know, just floor generals last night.
It's how it's got to be.
Yeah, the both of them. When was the last time we had two?
They can take games over.
Oh, yeah.
And now that you see the confidence with, I mean, like I said, JJ, no slow starts. He got in there, was doing that. And you could tell they're like pumping each other up. You know, they didn't come back. You know, JJ didn't come here and Judah didn't come back to not make the tournament. And they probably saw this as, this is our last like chance for a signature win. Like, we're not going out like this. And I hope that they continue that. And I hope they don't get cocky, and I hope they don't get overconfident, because all these teams, even though they're the bottom of the ACC, they're going to be playing just as hard. So they got to keep that up.
At Saltine Warrior 4, ticket prices plummeted last few days. Bet those season ticket holders who didn't go tonight or gave away their tickets are feeling really dumb right about now. Classic Syracuse win to pull us back in. Yeah, gotta love the meme, right?
Well, and I hope that they do, because you know what? If anything, that should re-energize the fan base. We only have, I believe, 3 home games left.
Two.
We only have 2 home games left. So let's show up for these last two. And Notre Dame is going to be noon on a Saturday, and then that Virginia Tech game on a Tuesday night, that's going to be a big game. Virginia Tech's tough.
I don't know what the crowd was last night, but they were awesome again. I felt like they were awesome again. So
yeah, because the last two games have felt like we played against good teams in the dome, and it felt like old school Syracuse basketball. Attendance last night, 21,275.
What was it?
21,275.
Okay. So about the same for Clemson.
Yep.
And that's tickets sold. So that does count season ticket holders. At David Super, a loss here would hurt UNC's chances at a number one overall seed. If you are not aware of this, then you are not listening to the broadcast, because they mentioned it a million times. So let me remind you, a loss here would hurt North Carolina's chances at a number one overall seed. I love the dripping with sarcasm comments, and I can't get enough of those. And David must know that. Let's just call him at the BS something. Great win for a first-year coach. Helps to set the momentum for the future. A solid foundation is there. Really excited to see how many of these young players develop. I was wondering if Coach was going to get something to hang his hat on this year. And I'm besides Oregon, because even I can be honest enough to say that it's not exactly going to matter. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to matter. Beating UNC and Joe, I have three UNC fans at work, and you live down in UNC country, and there's plenty here. And boy, you just walk into work with your chest puffed out, waiting for them to say something, because they know what you're thinking. And I had a buddy of mine who was at the UNC game that you went to in Chapel Hill this year, and he texted me right after the game and said, "Sorry about that ass whooping." And I left it alone. And you know what? Last night I had my phone in my hand, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to shelf it. I'm not even going to bother, because they know they just lost to a team that's scratching and clawing to make the tournament. And good on Coach to get this and get it off his back. And it's good on the players to get this off their back too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was very sarcastic with some of my friends too. But even yesterday before the game, when I was at work, I walked by and there was two guys dressing in their UNC, and they were talking back and forth. I don't know what they were talking about, but I just kind of walked by. They both know I'm a Syracuse fan. And I just kind of walked by and I said, "Hey, guys, can you take it easy tonight? Let's make it like 15 or something instead of that 30. That 30 stuff last time was bullshit, right?" And they laughed about it. This and that. But yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting. I didn't actually. I had to go to a lay down yard, and I didn't actually go to work today to the actual site. So I haven't been able to reap the benefits of that game last night yet. But I'm definitely going to make up for it tomorrow. So.
It is one of those ones where a win or a loss in that situation, that late at night, the game dragged on for almost 2.5 hours live time. If you don't get to fast forward through commercials.
I was behind, dude, and I thought it went into overtime.
Oh, really?
I'm looking at the score, and I'm like, how the hell did they come back and go to over?
Yeah, so it just dragged out at the end. But, that type of game, that close, just your adrenaline is going, and I couldn't freaking fall asleep. I had to.
Well, dude, think about it, bro. We've basically been, I'm used to losing to North Carolina since we joined the ACC at this point, let alone having a close game, right? So on top of that, and then you throw the fact that we've already, we've already lost to them by 36 this year, and our track record this year so far against a team that's better than us like that, it just doesn't look good. So, yeah, I mean, I was pumped up too. My adrenaline was going. It was hard for me to go to sleep because that was just – it came out of left field.
Yeah.
It came out of left field. Like, I just did not see it. They surprised the hell out of me last night.
I surprised the hell out of me too. And the whole time, like 4 minutes left and we're up by seven. And I'm thinking to myself, at what point do we blow this?
That's what you're thinking the whole time, yeah, right? And yeah. Now after the game, you're like, that's the team I want to see every game. And you know what? You're not going to see that team probably against Georgia Tech.
Probably not.
So this is going to raise the expectations. And how do you go from beating North Carolina by seven to only beating Georgia Tech by one? Blah, 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 blah.
When you decide your own fate, though, there's a little bit of something to that where you get, like I said, you get this monkey off your back and you can do the best you can at least to determine your own fate. I think that alone, between this win and the possibility of that down the road in front of a team like this is, the ceiling's the limit. Or the sky's the limit, rather. The ceiling, that wouldn't be very much.
Yeah. I mean, the sky would be. And that was a lot of the comments, right? Like, but Brian Gray on Facebook, good win. It's amazing things happen when back is against the wall. He's a top fan, by the way.
Oh, top fan. That's right. There we go.
You know, and just, you know, John, wow, completely awesome. I'm so glad they proved me wrong and came out with crazy determination. Top fan, Chuck, amazing 40 minutes of 100% effort on both ends. Like, a lot of those type of comments on Facebook, like, and you're right, like, you know, the determination, their back was against the wall the first time. It seemed to me like they actually put in, at least on the defensive end, a full 40 minutes of effort.
The defense was in front. They weren't chasing guys down from the side. They weren't, sprinting from the side of guys and having a foul. They did a tremendous job of staying in front of everybody. And with the exception of a few RJ Davis, like mic drop threes, they did an excellent job on that too. I mean, as good as you can do. It didn't seem like at one point that UNC could miss from three. So, our buddy Nadal, it's a blur, and I just know I'm happy for us all. So, yeah, I mean, I woke up this morning. You know when you wake up in the morning after something like that, you're like, man, it still feels good. It's so much better than waking up after a loss. At Drew Cuse, build off of this. Don't let it be for nothing. The next game is all that matters now. Exactly. You know, like Coach said, enjoy it tonight. And we're going to go ahead and get ready for Georgia Tech. And you got to have that one. You got to have Georgia Tech after that. And with basically a six-man rotation, it's going to get tiring down the stretch, especially when you get to ACC tournament time. And if you've got to make some kind of noise there, that could be extremely difficult for six guys. And, you know, carry out with a concussion protocol. You know, expect him back somewhat soon, I guess, from that. I mean, possibly Saturday. We'll see.
Yeah, but Chance Westry had a tweet.
Did he? What did he say?
I mean, it was kind of – I mean, it was just him working, you know, but I don't know if he's talking about working to get back this year or working to get back next year.
I don't know if he – I mean, so what's the number? I need to know the number because I thought it was six.
I'll find out.
Find out.
I'm pretty sure that if it gets to the point where he could play when the ACC tournament starts, if he starts at the ACC tournament,
he'll just deal with it.
Then no, I think that it doesn't matter. I think. I don't know if those count. So
gotcha.
We're getting close. Yeah.
Once the regular season's over, you're saying.
Speaking of that, did you see the part of the? I'm surprised you didn't have it in the montage. The part where Quadir Copeland came in.
Yeah. Well,
that was hilarious.
I couldn't hear what he said though.
Oh yeah, he was asking.
I rewound it and listened, and I still couldn't hear what he said.
Well, our boy Zuba on Twitter, he has the actual, like, because he has his phone and he tapes it, and he turned it to Quadir. Yeah, and he basically was asking him when was this going to be over, talking about the press conference,
so they could get up there and answer questions, something like that, right?
It was either that or so that they could get dismissed and they could go enjoy their evening.
No, he said something. Quadir said something along the lines of, we got a lot of questions answered too, or something like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And then he asked him when he walked out, he's like, how about that Quietier Copeland's defense tonight?
And
that's when Autry said, yeah, you got lucky.
Here it is. Hold on a second. We can listen to it right here. Hold on. Hello. What are we doing here? Does this work? Maybe we can't listen to it.
Top fan, Michael. He says, this is Coach Red's standard.
Yes. I love that.
You see what I'm doing, right?
There we go. We're trying to enjoy our night.
See what I'm dealing with, right? They keep asking questions, Q.
Yeah, we got a lot of questions to answer too, man. We got y'all, but good job out there, Coach. Appreciate it.
Can I reach it? He got lucky today.
All right, I appreciate it. Last question.
Yeah. So he was talking about so they could start their night. You're right. At No Blanchard 44, this was the best game we've played all season. Obviously, I think that goes without saying. I think Coach said as much. Took mostly good shots, played great defense, made our free throws. Like I could have been more happy with the free throws, to be honest with you. It was enough, and they had enough to make up some of the difference there on the discrepancy with UNC, but 72%. I want better than that. And got a lucky breaks when we needed them. When we move around on offense and attack the basket, we're a different team. Let's win out and make the damn tournament. And then I got one here. I got, of course, my boy Captain Pat. He's got to get on this. Great win. Those refs really did everything they could to help UNC out. All those replays that overturned bad calls helped at the end of the game. F the ACC refs. Thank you, Cap. That's my sentiments exactly. They were infuriating at one point, but the tape don't lie. And I'm glad they went to it within 2 minutes. I guess they probably have to, right? It only makes sense for them to, and I think it might even be a damn rule. So, yeah, so they had no choice and the tape was clear, but, yeah, a team like UNC shouldn't need that stuff, but it felt a little lopsided at one point. I know the crowd was upset at one point too. So there was some moaning and groaning in the crowd action. But what else you got on Facebook?
I see Top Fan Dom.
Oh, Facebook sucks. Is that what we got?
Fun game, well coached. Facebook sucks.
There we go.
Brian, we did exactly what we needed to. I knew we would have to shoot something like 60%+, therefore minimizing the rebound disadvantage and protect the ball and get more steals than them. I don't think in the first half that there were any points off turnovers for either team, which was pretty amazing.
What was that last one?
You said he didn't think that there was any points off of turnovers for either team, which was pretty amazing.
Yeah, there were. There were 15-15.
Well, he said for the first half.
Oh, the first half.
Yeah. So, and Zach, our boy Zach.
Oh, our boy Zach.
So they must have listened to last week's podcast, cleaned up the selfish play tonight. Clearly this means Joe has to start that soccer podcast now.
Yes, Joe's Cuse Soccer Pod coming your way.
It's not.
Gosh, no. I can't wait for that once basketball season ends and Joe starts his soccer pod with Level Up Luke. And
don't hold your breath.
Oh, man, it's going to be so good. I can't wait. Can't wait to download it. All right, what else do you got? Anything? I'm pretty much wrapped up, honestly. Kind of more of the same.
Yeah,
and it's a lot of, yeah. Facebook always, I mean, let's F and go. Cuse Waterboy.
Tougher team won, not the better team. If they play tough and give effort, they will give themselves a chance to win each time they play. And I mean, that's, you know, a lot of that stuff. So, oh, yeah.
I can appreciate that.
Well, again, you have to win with effort when you don't have necessarily the size. They do have the talent, you know. Again, it's just figuring it out. You know, we remembered that for a little spurt there at North Carolina in the second half, they played 2-3 zone, and it seemed to kind of mess them up a little bit. And like last night, you know, they played primarily 2-3 zone, and you could tell that they were not letting R.J. Davis and Harrison Ingram get a lot of open shots. Like they had a lot of, you know, a lot of contested shots.
Real quick, last one, because this, I believe, was probably the biggest part of the game, I think. You can't point to any one thing, but in a game like this, because everything, there's so much across the board to point to. But Jay Sassalum, Copeland's defense in the last 2 minutes was huge. That was the longest 2 minutes of basketball I think I've ever sat through. And he was just a pest. My gosh. Malik-esque pest type. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh yeah.
Like in Malik's a next level pest. I mean, there's very few. And Copeland must have sat down with him and got some training because he was fantastic at the end of the game. Enough can't be said about that. And I think I already said enough can't be said about that. And then I said more. So I guess I was right.
You did.
I predicted the future.
I mean, look, it's becoming to the point where, you know, Quadir's just going to have to play a certain amount of minutes. I think, you know, that, you know, with all the injuries and dismissals from the team and everything and the way just people have been playing, I mean, that last unit that we have there with, you know, Malik Brown and
Malik Brown. I'm sorry, Joe. Do you want to share with the class? Are we interrupting you?
Sorry, no. Someone, Malik Brown or? And Quadir Copeland and Chris Bell and Judah and JJ. I mean, that's obviously our best lineup. And
yes.
I mean, that's going to have to be a majority of it. But again, maybe that's the other reason why we played 2-3 zone, because we knew that we had to be out there for 40. But either way, I mean, the one thing that's consistent this year, I think, with this team is the fact that we are scrappy, like we're pests.
Yeah.
I mean, we turn almost every team over, and we got some length with Quadir. And I mean, if you're a big man trying to post up, you think you can post up Malik because you got 3 inches on him? You better hold on to that damn ball, and you better not give him an opening, because that crap will get poked out in a second.
Yeah, he just ripped one away.
Remember the one he ripped from Baycott? He got his hand in there before Baycott even caught it. I mean, he's impressive. He is slowly, and I know Quadir, he's the flashy guy and everything, but honestly, Malik, to me, it's more like Quadir's fun, right? But Malik reminds me more of like how I used to handle and just how humble he is.
Yeah.
He's not too high. He's not too low. I mean, you can go back and you can watch this. And I went back and I rewound it probably 3 times. And this is the reason why, you know, Malik Brown's the favorite player on the team for me, is the way that he does things and there's just no reaction, like no big deal. He's not bringing attention to himself, right? And you go back and you watch the end of last night's game. Right near the end, when the students and the fan, and then when they rushed the court, watch Malik Brown and what he did.
What did he do? Why don't you just tell us? You're gonna make us all watch it. I mean, I will, but
no. It's essentially everyone. You know, all the other players on the court, they were like celebrating. They were going mid court. The fans were running, and from the beginning, as soon as he knew that he won, he walked off slowly past everybody and got into the handshake line.
Oh wow.
Like, yeah, I mean, just, it's like nothing phases this guy. And it's just like things like that, you know what I mean? Like to the point where he was like still all business. Like, I'm going to go there as a professional. I'm going to get in line. And I'm going to shake these coaches' hands. I'm going to shake these players' hands. Go through that like that, you know? I think he was the only player that did that.
That's the one thing about the storm in the court thing, which I could take it or leave it, to be honest with you. I don't know why it's controversial, but I could take it or leave it. I don't really have a strong opinion either way, but that's the one thing I feel like players should do every time is at least get in the handshake line. Let the kids on the court or whoever's on the court do their thing, but you know, get in the handshake line. And anyways, okay, look, move on to Georgia Tech. Unfortunately, there will not be a Georgia Tech preview. I don't have time. It's Valentine's Day, and I'm supposed to bring my wife to get fish and chips. That's what I got to do. And I guess I'll get a salad or a burger because I don't eat fish. But before we leave, just real quick, mention the fact that Damian Alford has I guess he's entering the transfer portal after his graduation, and you know he's going to use that year of eligibility somewhere. And there was a weird way this went down, and I don't know the answer or what's right or wrong, or I could sit here and speculate, but I'm not gonna. But either way, it was a little ugly and confusing. So he's no longer with the team. Wish him the best. And also,
yeah, but we spoke about it right off the camera. Like, we did. It's nothing against Alfred, and honestly, you know, he's graduating, and he, you know, I mean, there was a tweet out there made it seem like, you know, he was, you know, one way or another, he didn't say that he was going to transfer. But I think right now, the way that Fran Brown rolls, and from what I've seen with him and us especially, you know, when we're over scholarships and we need to make some room, I mean, he wants people that are all in, you know. So it's nothing, I don't think, against his personal character or anything, but I just think personally, Fran Brown's like, look, you know what the deal is. You see what's up. I'm not going to hold a scholarship for you for somebody who might just not want to be here, right? So I think, honestly, there's a little bit of probably miscommunication. But at the end of the day, we know that Fran and company, they don't play games anymore. He don't got time for maybes.
It maybe sounded like something was leaked before there could be a real conversation had, and that's too bad. Yeah. That's too bad. That's just how I see it. That's just how I see it, because I don't think that's Fran Brown's character.
No.
And, you know, I just don't. I think that people are really greedy on trying to be the first to report stuff, and something gotten the wrong person heard something, basically, and I think that's how that happened. I don't know. But anyways, wish him the best. I believe at one point we were two over on the scholarships, and I don't know exactly where we stand now, but with that,
we signed another one on signing day, right?
So, right. I mean. So, well, exactly. That's why I don't know. I can't keep track of it. But Isaiah Johnson, he was invited to the 2024 NFL Draft Combine. So see what he can do out there. Wish him the best with that. And, you know, we roll on, right?
Yep.
I mean,
yeah.
We're going to see how – I think there was a recruiting – I don't even know why I brought this up, because I can't remember the guy's name. But there was a recruiting staffer, a name I remember, that's left the program, went back to Penn State too. It was probably a money thing or something. Who the hell knows?
Yeah. Well, here's the quick Georgia Tech
preview. The all-time series is 9-8. Okay,
9-8.
Syracuse.
Okay? They're 3-10 in the ACC. They're 10-14 overall. They're third to last in the ACC. So I know that you're going to sit here and you're going to say, okay, we just did this. We just beat Notre Dame or North Carolina at home. We should be able to go handle business. And yes, our back's against the wall. If we want to make the tournament, we probably need to. But North Carolina lost to Georgia Tech. So, North Carolina lost to Georgia Tech. So that's one of Georgia Tech's three wins in the ACC. So should win, have to win. Doesn't mean we're going to.
True. And if you want to check out Georgia Tech, you can watch them tonight versus Notre Dame, 7 o'clock. You may hear my voice after that game is played, but for all you early birds that download as soon as this thing pops up, which we appreciate you guys, you can check that out at 7. David says, didn't get UNC predictions. How about the Georgia Tech game? Oh, my gosh. You know what else happened in the UNC game when we totally avoided predictions, David? I hate to say it, man, but I'm a sports superstitionist, and I wonder if we should forego predictions, Joe. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm down.
I know you hate them, though, so we're going to do them anyway. Okay, here we go. Joe.
Fish or hot dog with ketchup?
Ooh, fish or hot dog with ketchup, man. Golly.
Come on, don't sit here and act like this is hard. Guys, everyone that's listening, this is funny because Sean and his family are the one that actually eats ketchup with hot dogs.
Whoa. My son, and I've said how disappointed I am in my son on this show. So,
I mean, who did he learn it from?
He didn't learn it from me, bro. He puts ketchup on Gianelli sausage. Okay? Oh, that didn't come from me, bro. That didn't come from me. And I've told him, don't do that. You can't do that. And he doesn't listen. So yeah, he ketchups his hot dog.
I mean, I think ketchup on Gianelli sausage is a different story, but definitely hot dog.
It is, but he does ketchup and mustard on the sausage.
He probably does ketchup on fish.
He doesn't eat fish. Like, fish sticks. He's like me. He doesn't eat fish.
Not even like salmon.
Salmon? No.
Come on,
bro. I don't eat any fish. I don't eat nothing that comes out of the water. I would obviously have to go with ketchup on the hot dog on that, honestly. I would.
Really?
I don't like fish, bro. I don't like it. I'll catch it, cook it, clean it, or catch it, clean it, cook it in that order. And I'll have a smile on my face the entire time I'm doing it, but I just can't. I just can't. I've caught fresh tuna, tried it, like, same day. I don't know, man.
Really?
Yeah.
So you don't flounder. Do sushi either?
Sushi? No, God, no. Lord, no way. I'll gag, bro. I'll gag. Like, I won't be able to swallow it. I just something about it.
But it's not just fish, though, right? It's like shrimp and like...
It's shrimp. It's crab. I can do crab cakes once in a while if I just drown them in hot sauce. Because
you can't even do shrimp?
No. But if you've ever picked crabs, like if you pick crabs and you make crab cakes, like if you don't eat some of that, then you just wasted so much time in the sore neck and all of the things that go into picking crabs. Sucks. So I at least have one with hot sauce. Like, it's mostly, you know, do you want some crab cake with your hot sauce type deal? So,
oh, it's like that, huh?
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Let's see. What time is this? 5:30 Saturday, Georgia Tech.
Hey, David said 2 minutes ago, the Orange are 2-3. They have a 2-3 record in games that we don't pick.
Oh, really?
Where dude, what this dude stats?
Is? See, he's on the spectrum, bro. He's like a mathematician. He's like that guy. He's like Rain Man. Very good. Because when we need a stat and we're talking, he's in the spaces. That dude just spits it out. Like,
you're on point.
Mind like an elephant. Or memory like an elephant. Or one or the other. Or both. I don't know. All right, here we go.
I don't remember.
On the CW, let's try to even this thing up, okay? Let's try to go 3-3.
What's our record on the CW, David?
At 5:30. I know the answer to this one.
0-0?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think we've played
at 5:30. That's because of the time. We've played on the CW.
Yeah, the time. Okay, look, let's get serious. I got to go. Okay, I'm going to say, look, man, it's hard to believe, really, that we scored 86 against UNC. And we've been scoring, and we've been in a mid-70s team to low-70s team for weeks, I feel like.
Right.
On the road, I'm going to go 70. Oh, man, 73-69
Syracuse. Damn.
73-69. All right. 1-0 on the CW. He could be lying to me, and it's fine. I'd believe him anyway.
I'm going to go closer. I think that we'll end up, I think we go off this momentum. I'm going to say that we win it 80-70.
Okay. 10 points. All right. Fair enough. That's respectable. I just feel like they're going to give us, near heart attacks again. Thankfully
they probably will.
Thankfully I won't have to work the next day. So, but look, really appreciate everybody for tuning in. Hey, if you would please, go to Apple and rate us and say something mean about Joe. And we're looking for 5 stars. It's either fives or ones, it seems like, what we get there. We're aiming for the fives. And if you go to their Apple iTunes, you like the show. We don't want you to lie about anything, but if you can embellish how awesome we are, we'd appreciate it. But mostly, take digs at Joe, because those are the best sorts of feedback that I think we all enjoy, and even Joe. And why not?
practice.
Oh, I can take that. I can take it.
You can take it? Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, good. I mean, you can take digs at me, too. That's fine. I'm fine.
Well, you can. You guys, you can, but I take it better. Just.
I'm too fine with it. All right. There it is. That's the one. Appreciate all you guys. Appreciate all of you in the spaces. We should be back here Sunday on podcast and spaces. Appreciate y'all once again. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace.